Hey, Selamat Hari Raya to the people celebrating and also the people not celebrating. If you're not celebrating, why not? The celebration is easy. You eat food and you visit your friends. This episode was recorded quite a bit before. And so we mentioned that the time is as if it's not Raya yet, but it actually is. So just be aware of that. And what else? Yeah, just have a good time with this one. It's light, not really light, but not that heavy. It's just fun, catch up. And if you want almost a full episode's worth of extra content in the video form, go to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys. Okay, let's go. Selamat Hari Raya, guys. From me to you, maaf zahir dan batin. Episode time. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, listener. This is the Mental Pecah Podcast. Once again, you're listening to this podcast with me, Muzakir Zainal. Why? Thank you, is why. And yeah, this episode we have another guest. Brand new guest. All the way from Changi. Please put your clappies together and or not for the guy. Nuhadi.
Hello, shout out to the HSBC Rain Vortex.
It's branded by a bank.
Yeah, can.
A bank owns the Rain Vortex.
A bank owns the name of the rain asshole thingy that drenches.
So you know the Changi, for listener, you know Changi Airport has this rain thing.
Waterfall thingy.
Yeah, waterfall, indoor waterfall, tallest indoor waterfall, blah, blah, blah. So that's what they've been doing with our water? This whole time. We give them water, they do this. They just spill it all over their airport.
They give it to a bank. And then that bank just shows off at an airport.
And it's HSBC macam, as well.
HSBC. Macam, hey, you know what would make your butt clean in the toilet? Can't have that. What you can have is this imagery.
HSBC owns it. Shout out to HSBC, by the way. They are the people who laundered Pablo Escobar's money.
Oh, and, nice.
I think they did. I mean, banks. Banks get in trouble, you know. And then nothing happens.
Oopsie, whoopsie. Do I get a Silly Billy Award?
Yeah, that's it. That's all that happens. dang. What was, I think, Silicon Valley Bank? Is that what they're called? SVB? Recently almost had a bank run or whatever. We're entering into the recession. Guys, buy commodities. Invest in precious metals and such. This is not investment advice. But some of us made 40% last month investing in gold. Hey-yo.
Hey-yo.
Yeah, 40% is a lot. We are at the vinegar strokes of Ramadan. We are nearing the end of April and also the month of the fasting. It's only in the middle of April, actually. But next week is almost the end of it. You will be in Singapore during Raya, and you're fine.
I'm fine.
You've done Raya outside before, like away from your family before. I don't know how big of a family thing for you Raya is.
I think it's bigger for my family than it is for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm family as in my parents. I don't put too much weight on it at all, really.
Really?
Yeah. More recently, in the past couple of years, I've been getting your rendang, and that's been something really good. But besides that, Raya is just... It's just Raya, lah.
Huh. Yeah. As somebody who you have still, like, you have a good connection with your siblings and your parents, your relationship, I mean. And, you know, you balik kampung happily, blah, blah, blah. And they support your stuff. But you're like, Raya is whatever. F- for me, somebody who has only talked to my parents maybe once past couple years, I really like right here. That's the paradox. No, because I've said that I'm a Raya Grinch, kind of. I like visiting friends and eating food with my friends. I think that's what I like. What I don't like about Raya is how it can be overly, you know, same thing I don't like about Ramadan. Overly, macam, y'all forget what's supposed to happen here. But the celebration of it, the culture of it, I like. I do. I just don't like how enthusiastic how enthusiastic people get that Ramadan is over. that one is very weird to me. There's a thing that happens in Ramadan is in the first week they will play Raya songs, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Sure, but the lyrics to Raya songs is not first week Ramadan stuff. The lyrics is berlalu lah sudah Ramadan on the first week.
Kan. Bila tiba hari raya.
We're not there yet. Calm down. But anyway. But other than that, the raya, the celebration, I like hanging out with my friends, and like, you know, I want to be able to do that. I want to do another, maybe planning a one just for the comics. It should be good. Should be good. Maybe somebody might plan it, but we'll figure it out. And yeah, rendang, man, dude. Ugh, this year is famine season for me. I'm doing the tight belly problems, not problems, but tight belly situation, stance, power stance,
tight belly routine.
Yeah, but since the legal problem scare that I had, and how it made me realize that I might need a lot of, I mean, I do need a lot of legal funds potentially still. But that plus how all the groceries have been doubling, tripling up with the prices, I'm like, I don't know if I could do rendang this year to my satisfaction. I might be able to do it. Like, I made double batches is the most I've made, I think. I really like making rendang as well, that's the thing. So let's see. I'll find out. Did I make rendang last year? I don't remember.
I think you did.
Yeah, did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it's the rendang plus, rendang plus plus thing with the daun kunyit and the extra little spices at the end. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll find out. Money will turn out, and then I'll be able to figure it out, I think. Hopefully, I don't know. But yeah, because of that, I'm not sure about the rendang. But yeah, I do want to do some early activities.
I do like the hanging out with friends element to it. Mm. Tapi tu lah, I don't. Macam, it, to me, it's a shame that that kind of stuff only happens during Raya. Macam, I would like that to happen like monthly or quarterly or whatever.
You can do that. You can make that happen.
I've tried.
Why? It failed? What happened?
Failed.
Why? Your friends didn't want to show up?
Yeah, kind of.
Really?
Macam, that, I mean, the thing is, macam, my friend, the friendships that I have are very much one-to-one. It's not, I don't have friend groups, I have friend individuals.
Yeah, but that's why you do these, so that your friend groups can, like, intermingle.
Clash.
Yeah, so that, hey, today this guy's going to open house, you there, and then you see a bunch of people who you don't really know each other, maybe, but you all have in common is you all know the host, and then from there you talk and then make new friendships and then, you know, explore other things, invite them to shows, you go to their shows, blah 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 blah, and it's all fun.
Yeah, for some reason the thought of that fills me with dread and anxiety.
Why?
I don't know,
the thought of those real friends meeting each other
at the same place at the same time. Yeah.
Nah, see, what you gotta do is you gotta stop talking shit about your other friends with your other friends. That's why you're scared. every time you meet this friend, like, you know, ni orang tahu dah yang sini ni, and then you meet them, and then, oh, did you meet, you know, Farah the other day? Yeah. Farah tu biasa lah, dia kan. And then once everybody meets in the same room, the only one thing they have in common is that Anwar talks shit.
Talk shit.
I don't feel a sense of dread from that, from inviting a bunch of people to a place. I just know that my place isn't super comfortable for inviting people, because that wasn't. I had this idea in my head when I moved here that I won't be hosting parties as much. I don't know why. I guess, yeah, I don't know why. I think because I my want to move in here was to get away from the house and not necessarily to build a house that people would hang out in. That's the difference. If I ever I get money to have my own house, it would have to be someplace central. Everybody can hang out. Nobody needs to park weird places. Even just
there'll be more than two chairs nobody sits on.
Talk shit about my house if you want.
Talking shit about the chairs.
I don't like the chairs. I barely use them. It's very weird.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't like. I think the chairs are balcony chairs or something because it's angled back.
So it leans so much backwards. It leans
so far back.
That it's like a nap.
It's a chair. Nap chair, but it's facing the TVs. So
TV.
I don't get it. Whoever furnished the house is not me. That's why I didn't buy. The only thing I bought furniture-wise was the shelf. And I like the shelves. But otherwise, everything else. I like the shoe rack. Shoe rack is great. The old shoe rack is garbage. But now I was like, huh? What's going on? I need to slowly maybe refurnish the house. Because doing the bedroom, I really like. I have a bed now. Which, by the way, still, I can't do beds, I think. I'm doing beds now because I don't have a job. But beds are just the worst time machines ever. Because, like, you know what I mean? You wake up at 8, you're like, yeah, I'm up. Your brain's like, you're awake. Yeah, I know, I'm awake. All right, what's next? Let's roll over to the phone. I hold the phone, that's how I know it's 8. Let's roll over and put the phone down. As you roll over, your blanket covers half of you more. And then you're like, this is cozy. Let me just feel the cozy, close my eyes. And then I wake up, it's April. I have a beard. It's a problem. It's too comfy. Meanwhile, whenever I sleep on the floor with a beanbag or what, I wake up with the sun and everything's cool. Anyway, that's my own problem. But the bedroom itself is comfy, you know? So, like, everything is within reach and it's cozy. Maybe I need to change the furniture to be more friendly. But I don't need to, because we're trying to figure out whose house in the comics. They're among the comics, whose house would be good to, like, go and hang and spend some regular time at. We have some candidates, and it might be a good time. I don't know. Yeah, hopefully I get invited. We'll see.
We're trying to figure out. Hopefully I get invited.
Yeah, once we together figure it out, they're like, "Who's on the guest list?" I'm not in it. I'm like, "Oh, okay." I thought you.
I guess I half expected that.
Yeah. I'll just drop the rundown off in the mail.
Yep.
I understand though why I'm not a sought after party guest necessarily. I'm not great at parties. I don't think so. I believe so. What is it? Whatever it is that makes me good at saying things that make people go, huh? What? It's also the same thing that makes people go, I don't want this guy in my house talking about me like that. And I think I get it. But I just want to hang out and play video games with a bunch of people. That's really more of the goal.
Yeah. You don't have to talk to a bunch of people a lot to be able to play video games.
No, but that quality is important to be a sought after guest. You know what I mean?
To be a person that's put on a guest list.
To be a person that, like, hey, he's here. Oh, great. You know what I mean?
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. As of right now, I'm the kind of guy who, when somebody says, hey, let's go here, these people are here, I would say, who's there? Ugh, and then I won't go. That's me. And that kind of person is not somebody you want on your list necessarily. You know what I mean?
I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So I get it. But trying to manufacture a situation where I can just hang out. At a mama, I'm fine. But that's not a party situation. I don't know why. Not sure.
Tala. So at a catering.
This is all self-reported data. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's all
this
anecdotal evidence.
I don't know if this is true for other people. I don't know what other people actually think or feel. It might just be that I do project an aura of leave me alone. Because most of the time, yes, don't bother me with your nonsense.
Most of the time, you're correct.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't with that. Anyway, this is not what we want to talk about in this episode, guys. What we want to talk about is... okay. There's this thing called hermeneutic injustice. This is a term I just found out. Let's see if I got the term, punya definition correct. Hermeneutic injustice. Here we go. Occurs when one is unable to understand and articulate a harmful experience due to a structural identity prejudice that excludes their group from properly participating in knowledge practices. So, let's say, which one? Before autism was diagnosed, Ken, people are just weird and they're just ignored. And said that
and laughed at probably.
Laughed at, dude. If it's in someone's house, if they're highly on the spectrum, if they are in a particular spot on the spectrum, abused, you know what I mean, neglected,
oh,
whatever,
for sure,
terrible. But before the term was even, by the way, it's so recent, the diagnosis for autism, that the first person to ever be diagnosed with that term is still alive.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
John Ortiz himself.
Jonathan Wolfgang Ortiz. We invented it. Pioneered autism.
Pioneered vaccines and autism.
He invented vaccines, gave himself autism. And then, So, before that, right? People don't have the language to describe their peculiarities. They just say, I don't know what people mean. I can't tell what people are feeling with their face. I have no interest in talking about a person. When I answer questions, people laugh at me. When I speak, people laugh at me. I don't understand why. But once you know that, okay, autism is this set of behaviors, this cluster of whatever, then they can describe their experience to themselves so they can understand it. So in some ways, right, this the discovery of words really help, because once you know that this is happening to you, then you know how to describe it. Once you know how to describe it, you can see that it's happening to you. You get what I mean? So another form of hermeneutic injustice is toxicity, like toxic behavior, right? Before this was invented, or rather before it came into parlance,
Britney Spears invented toxicity.
Before Britney Spears and System of a Down invented
System of a Down
toxic behavior. Serge Tankian, Britney Spears, et al. And then that's the paper they wrote.
Yeah, 1999.
Yeah. You just say somebody's an asshole. Or like, you describe, they don't really love me or whatever. Or like, they are behaving, in a way that I don't like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it makes me feel bad.
Yeah, it makes me feel bad. Now okay, this behavior is toxic. Then you can identify, okay, toxic is a repeated harmful behavior that doesn't seek to improve itself. You notice that, you go, oh, okay, then you can say, this is toxic. This environment is toxic. I don't like it. I want to leave. Before, people can just go, what's wrong? I don't know, man. This happened. I don't feel good. You don't feel good? Huh? What are you, a girl? And then...
God, be a man.
Yeah, and then you don't even know how to describe it to yourself. then you start to feel something's wrong with you, and then you endure that for too long, and then you can't even describe it to yourself. You know,
and so there's that, the injustice.
And there's the injustice because you're not given the language to describe to yourself and therefore to other people how you are being wronged. And this is why like words are important and learning is important. And this is why whenever you sense or whenever you macam see people who don't want to talk about certain topics and don't want to invite discussion about certain uncomfortable things, these people are unwittingly involved in creating rooms for these injustices to happen. People who, for example, do not want sex education for kids. If you don't have sex education for kids, you don't give them the language to describe what happens to them. What has happened to them. You know what I mean? If you don't tell them what grooming is, if you don't tell them what's right or wrong or whatever, they won't know how to say what happened to them. And then they won't have the language. And then they will think that they're the ones that are wrong. And you lead people into all these sorts of situations where they don't know how to properly articulate what they're feeling, right? So this is the thing about like this is just this, a lot of the terms maybe if these people find each other who have gone through this experience, they might develop their own language and then use that term or whatever. But then this term also have to be like widely enough adopted so that people can believe you and understand you, and then you know, identify the problem and then work on solving the problem, right? Right now we are in this mode of crisis of where we entering a recession, the inflationary prices, you know that companies don't care about you, you know that you can't afford rent, you know that people are choosing not to have babies, not because they don't want them, but because they literally can't afford them, people can't afford rent, blah, blah, blah. And you know that the state or your government does not really consider the people's welfare as a priority. They would very clear corruption happening. They kowtow to multinational corporations instead of their duty to the people. And this is also macam, these all I think are related to each other. The reason your boss makes decisions that are bad for the employee because he believes that capital is worth chasing no matter what.
No matter what, yeah.
And what you are experiencing is a particular form. What we are all experiencing is a particular form of harm caused by the unwavering belief in capitalist values.
In profit, yeah.
Yeah, in profit as in the profit motive. Okay?
Yeah.
The pure for profit motive harms people in a lot of different ways. But by if we say, okay, oh, this is a capitalist problem, that conversation somehow doesn't really go anywhere. Politically, I feel like when you say biasalah kena tindas dengan kapitalis, it feels like the go-to reaction to that is okay, then you put your resources into the afterlife, or you become a communist, then how? No, boo. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't feel like people are aware there are other ways to go around this, meaning you have labor unions, or you can have a business that doesn't have profit as a motive, that has the community as a motive, and you can still win. But people being harmed by this do not have I don't think we have the language to say what's happening right now. It's too long of a term, which is the harm caused when people believe that the profit motive is ethically like. What? Or the profit motive is morally of good value. Like
it's just. Yeah.
It is justified. Which it isn't sebenarnya, but like so many macam business textbooks, economics textbooks assume, imply, communicate and popularize the idea that if you want to make money, you have to build a business, and the whole deal of a business is you have to make money no matter what. You have to profit revenue, and too many cool people are benefiting from this, by which I mean they benefit and then they spend money to make themselves look cool. and we're like, these guys are, maybe they're right because they're so attractive and I want what they have. But it is so hard to much up then take this idea and communicate it to people, so I don't know how to move now, like with all of my, you know, complaining and being annoyed at how our, you know, royalty, whatever, in Hauteng Malay, and with how everybody, so many people are behind the Malaysian wage gap, pay gap, social media account. They're all behind that, but that is not then mobilized into something like a labor rights thing or something to do, some political engine. Macam, when I say political engine, I mean giving the power to the people to have a set of of values that the policy will point towards, and the value is work with dignity, be able to eat and live, and then not have to, you know, eat dirt and like only get money from other countries, because that's where the actual money is now, and try to dismantle this weird machine that we all like fell into. I don't know if I'm making any sense now. I feel like this rambly is a little too long tail, but yeah. So I just learned about this thing recently, and I'm like, we need to find more words, and we need to like communicate these ideas better and more consistently and more much tenaciously, so that people are aware of the shackles that they're bound by. It's not much making profit is bad. No, it is when making profit is your only compass above all other priorities. That's when it's bad. So I guess the thing that's tricky here is to know, okay, if that's not the value you want to put as your true north, then what are the values? Okay, that's one that we can't really agree with or whatever, and that's why there's not a lot of agreement on where to go and what to do here. I don't know. Am I making sense? Yeah.
You are making sense to me, for sure. Okay. There's no like machinery to put to macam channel all this like energy and discontentment and towards and changing power structures.
Betul lah, machinery. Right now, machinery. Yes, you're right. But like, I think ideologically we need something. You know what I mean? Like the idea wise.
Yeah, I mean, on a mass level, sure.
I mean, mass is who we want to move. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, target the niche people who already are in here. But, like, the way to communicate that is we need the tenants. You know what I mean? We don't have it. And I'm still in the middle of researching labor rights in Malaysia, and like it's been fucked by the British. Duh, what a surprise. And
oh, like, for sure. Certain what a places
tak boleh buat union if you're in a particular thing, and once you're part of union, you cannot be part of another union or whatever. And trying to even introduce the idea of a workers' union is something alien and
so foreign, yeah.
Yeah. So I need to like really figure out what that means and like how to like move, because I think Parti Pekerja sounds like something easier to get into and as an ideology, you know what I mean? Everybody has a job and everybody wants welfare. The employer should take care of my safety, should take care of my wages, should take care of if there's an insurance, whatever, health plan.
Yeah, health, housing, food, yeah. Education.
So
basic shit.
Yeah, but if none of that is here, then that's why the exploitation keeps happening. And people think that, oh, it's something to be proud of that we have mamas 24/7. Dude, that's built on the back of, like, blood. It's not a good thing. If you, like,
yeah. if you it's ask built me, yeah. on, you know, very injured backs.
Yeah,
of immigrants.
Yeah, it's been on broken, sweaty backs of people. Dude, where do they live if they work 24 hours? How come the same guy that works in the morning shift is also the same guy at midnight shift? You didn't ask that? Like, what?
Yeah.
They live, oh, there's a workers' housing, there, blah, 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 blah. Okay, workers' housing. All right. What are the hours you think they work? What is the legally allowed time? How come only some of them can speak the local language, and why is it like that? Where are they from? Did you ever grow up with a person and then they grew up and then they work at these mama places? No. Why is that? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How come nobody local ever works at the mama place?
How come I've never, I work with this guy. Where is he? I go to school with this guy. Where does he work now? Can you get me? Maju? I mean, Maju? I'm like, never. Why is that?
Never. Ever.
Yeah, so I don't. I think there's some work here to be done where we figure out. Fuck. The moment I say that, damn it, because so many forces are in lockstep in fighting this.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And there's so much benefit in not solving the problem for the people benefiting from the problem.
Benefiting from the problem, yes. Yeah. To ignore the problem benefits them. Yes. And for people to like shine a light on it inconveniences them significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why like it's so, I guess, I'm sure people smarter than me know that this is a problem, but the communication of it, the communicating of it is not, I feel like not, it can, I don't know, a message that people can, that most of us can buy into, it exists somewhere. We haven't found it yet, but we need to. Or rather, it's due times. It's going to happen, but I see it now, meaning we need this. We need a new logo, a new thing. Because everybody across our political spectrums are tired of everything. And
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they all agree on not being able to buy eggs. Buy eggs!
Eggs.
It shouldn't be a controversial thing to be able to purchase or not purchase, but here we are. Anyway, this is what happens when How to Malay is on hiatus. I talk here instead. That is not funny. This podcast is categorized as comedy. And 30% of it is even cracking a smile. Should be able to get away with this. Do people not check if it's a comedy in there?
No, who's going to check?
Anyway.
The auditor.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Well, you worked in Singapore. I don't know how much you think about it.
The way that I kind of think about it in my own like micro way, ialah macam the North Star in which people come to work with becomes really obvious really quick, in my opinion.
In Singapore, yeah.
Or at least macam in any like okay. work situation lah, macam yeah, if you yeah. work with them day mm-hmm. in day out and you know see what they care about, see what they don't care about, it becomes apparent that oh, your North Star is profit, oh, your North Star is to not be scolded by your boss, therefore you scold other people.
Yeah,
your North Star is to get through the day without falling asleep. And macam it made me kind of say again and again in my own head to myself for some reason, Start With Why by Simon Sinek. I've read that book. I don't think it's a very good book, but it's a very good starting point.
Okay.
It's a very like pertinent question to macam ask yourself. I don't think there needs to be a 200-page book about it. But starting with why is so important. Which I'm going into a situation and knowing why you're there is so important. And if you just let your traumas guide you, your childhood traumas take you where they will in your decision making, if you let the external pressures of capitalism and the need for profit guide you where they will, you lose that agency that you have within yourself to create your own reality, right? And so macam I think about why I'm there a lot, why I'm at the restaurant a lot, why am I here, and that keeps me much of myself.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like much of the other managers, especially much of I just want them to think about it. I don't know how to get them to think about it. Why? Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Why? I don't know how to get them to think about that. And I think it's beyond me to be able to get them to think about that. But betul lah, macam the question of why you're there, if you don't take it upon yourself to figure out, the systems that are in place will bring you with the current. And the current is capitalism. The current is towards profit. The current is towards that sahaja. Because everything around you is suggesting capitalism. Everything around you is suggesting profit is good. And how people get to profit, I wish people understood that a little better.
How people get to profit?
Maksudnya macam how profit happens in capitalism.
Oh, right.
It's through the theft of the value that the laborer
provides. Yeah.
And if more people understood that or were more open to that truth, then maybe they'd be less okay with the status quo. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Maybe.
Yeah,
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast? This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Pecah. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Fairuz, Siti Fatima, and Lukman alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgy pledge. You can cancel anytime as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
On a personal level, for somebody to figure out that they want to ask themselves the why, kan? This is, I think we, because a lot of, I think we've discussed this like offline also, maybe in other episode of the podcast. It is very hard to look at oneself and then be with one's thoughts and ask the questions. Because being yourself and ask yourself, what do I want? Who am I supposed to be? These are difficult, tricky questions. Why am I upset at this? Or because we, you know, humans, we're very good at justifying things. But the thing is, there's so many things out there that seek to justify us to ourselves. There are elements and like parties out there who have an interest in solving your problem for you so that you don't have to think. about yourself honestly so that you can run away and go, if I make this much money, I'll be happy. My job is to have a job. Once I have a job, that's my identity now. I need to be the best blank that I need to be. And I think being the best blank means, you know, doing these things that might hurt other people. But business is business, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing personal. It's just business. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. Business is made of people. We talked about that already. So, like, if you're a person and you're like, when I go to work, what is my value? What am I doing? You remember that, you know, I said this offline also. Not offline. I said it in the Patreon extended Patreon. Vision of this. Remember that you are a person outside of your job also. Outside of you having value in the community, not community, in the market. Outside of your value in the market, which is how your working time can be turned into money for other people. You also have value as a person, or your value as a person in relation to other people in your life. A child, your child, your parent, your sibling, your friends, you and your hobbies, you and your interests, and you and your person. Because to be a person is all that is actually being asked of you the moment you are born. Like, you should have value by yourself. You shouldn't attach it to productivity. Because what is productivity? What are you producing? You're producing what? For who? To what end? Right? If you are, you know, if you're being productive, but you're a dumbass, full offense. I mean, if you're a productive person, but you work at a tobacco plant, right? Then what are you doing? You're making a bunch of people, you know, needing that. That's, if you work for Bezos and it's for the how to optimize the warehouse routes so that the shelves that have wheels on them can move around a body when it falls down because of cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Are you, what, you know what I mean? Well, are you really fully being a person? And this, the trouble of this is, if you ask somebody to ask themselves the why, they have to run into the problem of asking themselves what their own values are. And that is a lot of work, actually. And this is, you know, this is religion. Religion gives you a whole set of values. You can, okay, use these values. And people go, perfect, I don't have to think about it. And then they do that. And they let go of the responsibility of having values by attaching it to a religion that may or may not be useful or harmful, depending on how they use it. So because it is hard work to discover what your own values are, sebab, now you have to make sure they match with other people, or like other people agree with that. You know, it's a tricky thing. So I understand why it's much easier to just look at your task of the day, read your emails, answer your emails, get angry when you feel angry, go home and like be confused. Why was that so upsetting? Why did I have to have that meeting with the client? And then you go and you self-soothe with whatever substance of your choice. Mine happens to be salt and carbs. And then you do that, and then you wake up in the morning hating yourself, and you do that again for what? And it is hard, lah. That's why I advocate for Slack, meaning not the app, meaning you.
And this episode is brought to you by
use Slack for the ability to offload your tasks and arrange your emails. No, I advocate for a lot of Slack time. Find some if you're listening and you don't have a job yet. You're deciding for your next job. Delay that as often as you can. If you already have a job, save a lot of money, spend way little, spend way less than you think, save a lot, and then a couple of weeks off just by yourself. Figure out who you are, what you want, what kind of experiences you want to have for yourself, what kind of things you want to accomplish or not accomplish, what feelings you want to feel, who do you want to be with, and then you can go back into the matrix and then figure out plug all back right in. Plug yourself back into the machine, and then you can be less annoyed at other people at work. You can be a lot happier with your output. That is kind of whatever. You don't have to feel too proud or too ashamed of your output at work. You just remember that being a person is good and good enough. Part of hermeneutic injustice is, if we had the word to describe all of that, you won't have to do this episode of the podcast. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't be an hour long.
We can just say, I have blank, blank needs to be solved. Are you blank at your work? I blank at work. I think this work is blanky. Then, you know, find some other work that's not as blank.
Yeah, but blankism is just so perpetuated in our culture.
Blank, man. This guy, so, sir, you're very angry. Is it blank or are you actually upset at me? Yeah, it's blank. It's blank, right?
Yeah, it's okay, blank.
All right. So what can we get away with today? Let's just do the bare minimum. Let's go out for drinks and then talk it out. And then we feel less blank tomorrow. all right. I don't know if that's helpful for the listener, but that is a thing that we have said. And it is it is not recorded. One more thing I want to talk about very, very quickly is... are you surprised? I know this is old. The idea of mukbangs is old. But, oh wait, before I go, you care to talk to me? Or how? How do you feel? time-wise, yeah.
I have 5 minutes.
You have 5 minutes?
I have 5 minutes.
We'll talk about mukbang next time.
All right.
Okay, last thoughts for the listener.
Last thoughts for the listener, if you do have the choice to take unpaid leave, save up enough money and take that unpaid leave because it is valuable.
Yes.
And to have that free time to think is very valuable. And macam, figure out who you want to be. Macam, I go to work and I know why I'm there. I'm there to help.
Yeah.
And that was asked of me. Macam, my restaurant manager, macam, why are you here? And I'm like, I'm here to help. And then he got mad at me for saying that.
Wow. Did he correct? Did he realign your thing? No, what you should be is blah.
No. He just said, macam, how can you say blah, 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 blah? Because you blah, 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 blah.
What's the conclusion to the paragraph?
Nothing, dude. He just wanted to be angry.
Okay, yeah. And we know and now it, he's partly blank.
He's blank.
Yeah.
He's all blanked up to the brim.
Yeah.
But I'm there to help. And I am there to provide people with a sense of levity in their life. Maybe they weren't expecting it to get it at a restaurant. But if I can provide that even just for a moment, I've done what I went there to do that day. And it helps me get through the day. And that having that in mind helps me so much because I know I'm there.
Okay, hopefully
what
that
I'm here to do. Yeah. So I hope, you know, if you listener figure that out, I think it'll help you get through the day as well.
Also, I'm imagining a guy who hears I'm here to help and gets upset at having help. Like, you have help now. Isn't that great? So many people need that. Like, you're at work and somebody says, hey, I'm here to help. Perfect. Here's what you can do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like, I'm here to help. Huh? You're helping? Preposterous. What the hell is this? That's how damaging Blanc is.
Yes, the dangers of Blanc.
Okay, so my message is I hope you unblanc yourself. Spend some time with your loved ones. And happy pre-Raya. Because there's a lot of stuff you need to, you know, put together for pre-Raya. And I hope you have a good time doing that. We're not taking a break for Raya. This podcast will continue for the weeklies. And if you want to listen to some extra content, go head over to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys to hear Anwar's experience at Ramadan Bazaar and then my thoughts on some silly stuff related to the Ramadan Bazaar. Go over to Patreon for the extra content. Thank you and have a good time. And be good to each other and love each other and be kind. Bye.